see if I can get rid of Ben's mess here. Okay, good. Thank you. Ben, that was outstanding, man. Anointed worship this morning. I loved it. Thank you very much. Well, my wife wasn't able to be with me this weekend. Our daughter starts school tomorrow, so she had, we had to get her to school, and she's got to get her ready. Now, she is a senior this year, but, you know, that's mom's duty. She likes to do that. So, last time I was here, is Gail here this morning?
No.
No? Okay. I was just going to thank her. I've been in contact with her over the years. We were first here at when you all were the Huron Tabernacle, Huron Street Tabernacle in downtown, and my kids weren't as old as they are now. Why don't you show a picture of the kids now, Ben? Those are our five. We have eight kids. And three of them are birth kids. These are the five youngest adopted. And I think last time we were here, the oldest one holding her son was 26. She was probably six last time I was at Huron down the street. I've been here a couple times for Missions Explosion, but as far as our family, that's it. So we're 26. Behind her is the 24. And the one far right is Hannah. She's 22, and then the one next to Hannah, next to me, is Selah, and she is 20, and then the senior is 18, and she's next to her nephew, Lucas. So, just thought I'd show you all that, and you're probably thinking there's no way that we can have kids that young or that old. One of the other, our other kids are in their 40s, so there's quite a span. So we have served, just a brief introduction, we have served as AGWM missionaries in China for over 10 years, and then we were asked to direct Fire Bible. Who knows what Fire Bible is? Anybody know Fire Bible? Fire Bible translation projects in India for 3 years. And then we always knew that we wanted to be involved in the ministry we're involved in now. And that is, it's called Unbound, which Ben had showed up a little earlier. And that ministry ministers to those who have been previously, excuse me, who have been previously sexually violated as a child or are currently being sexually traumatized as a child today. I don't see maybe one younger one here. Feel free, it's not going to be graphic. I'm not going to get real graphic, but it is what it is. And so if you're not comfortable having your children here, or if you're not comfortable yourself being here, you can go ahead and step out, and I would fully understand that. There are 331 million people that live in America now. 42 million are survivors of sexual abuse. That is one in eight of us have been survivors and of sexual abuse as children. Today, one out of four girls and one out of six boys are sexually abused prior to their 18th birthday, and many put that number actually closer to one out of three girls, one out of five boys. 20% of our sons and daughters will be solicited online prior to reaching the age of 18. What's the key word there? Online. 80% of our college freshmen are addicted to pornography, girls and boys. 20% of our daughters will be sexually abused before they graduate from college, and much of it occurs as a result of partying, alcohol, and drug use. I had just was talking to someone yesterday. My senior had a volleyball tournament yesterday. So I was talking to one of the moms there, and she knew what we were doing, and she says, "Have you heard about the Hamilton mom?" Well, the Hamilton is a small city outside Holland downstate. And she says her daughter went to school to Grace Christian College. And I don't know which Grace Christian College it is. And she met a couple who led a Bible study for students. Really what they were sex trafficking groomers. So they had her in all the time. Then they asked her if she'd like to stay there and save the tuition money, and she really enjoyed them. And really all they were doing was, like I said, sex or grooming her for sex trafficking. They've lost track of her. The last place they knew of her was that she was being trafficked in Florida, and they don't know where she is. So this is a family who sent their daughter off to college. She was majoring in music, wanted to be a worship leader and write music, and now she's in the trial of her life. If she's even alive yet, they don't know. They have no contact with her. The truth is this: if the abuse was not reported when it occurred as a child, the average age that adult men and women victims seek help or are able to talk about their childhood trauma is, how old do you think? If you didn't talk about it when you were a child, when it happened, you couldn't tell your parents, you couldn't, for whatever reason, when do you think that the average person will come for help or seek help? 52. A lot of them are never. But age 52. And it's a lot of stuff to carry for a lot of years, isn't it? So here's our abuse story, because we were also two of the 42 million that have happened in America. Both Sharon and I were abused as children. I'll tell my story, and then I'll share her story. I was 7 years old and sexually abused by a 16-year-old female babysitter. My parents both worked full-time. They were giving Vicky an opportunity to earn some money that summer. I never told anybody about it because I didn't think it affected me. It was just something that happened, and I could deal with it. But I discovered later it prematurely opened my heart to behaviors and thought patterns before I was ready. I was seven. As a teen, it led to a pornography addiction for many years. I also discovered that by not talking about my childhood abuse, I became emotionally detached, which is an inability or an unwillingness to connect with other people on an emotional level, including my family. Sharon, on the other hand, was introduced to sex by a girlfriend when she was 10 years old. The girlfriend had been told things to try by an aunt that recently had gotten married. Later, when Sharon was 12 or 13 years old, she would have sleepovers with several of her school friends. They would try things together. Sharon stopped going shortly afterwards. Another reason why we never allowed our kids to do overnights. You never know what's going on in another home. As clean as it looks from the outside, we never really know. Then the abuse started occurring in her home with her father and two of her seven brothers. She never told anyone, but later in life she shared with a friend and she was set free through prayer and deliverance. As AGUSM now, we were AGWM, Assembly of God World Missions, now we're U.S. Missions, missionaries. Sharon and I have founded a ministry named Unbound. Our passion is to bring freedom to victims of childhood sexual abuse and domestic child sex trafficking. God has asked us to share our story of hope, restoration, and redemption, to be a voice for a voiceless, for those that just can't talk about it or won't talk about it. As a nation, we have an enormous problem. Our children are under attack. I want to talk about an extremely sensitive topic, the sexual exploitation of our children, and like I said, I won't be graphic. Sexual abuse is found across every age, race, religion, and economic class that has lifetime effects. This evil plays no secrets. It occurs in urban and rural settings. Small towns are as vulnerable as large urban centers. No one is protected from this atrocity. So I want to thank Pastor Sam for offering me the opportunity this morning to address you. that this evil epidemic is engulfing America. The official definition of child sex trafficking is this: the forced commercial sexual exploitation of children through buying, selling, or trading their sexual services, which occurs when someone uses force, fraud, promises, coercion, blackmail, or all the above to cause a minor to commit a commercial sex act. Child sex trafficking is one component of childhood sexual abuse. I used to split those up, but there is no splitting them up. It's just another form of childhood sexual abuse. The U.S. Department of Justice estimates that 200,000 American children are trafficked into the domestic sex industry every year. 200,000. The average age of the victims are 12 to 14 years old. It is a crime hidden in plain sight, and it is the least talked about crime in America, which contributes to both the lack of awareness and to the widespread growth of this perversion. The traumatized kids are hoping someone will notice and do something about it. They're looking to us to get them out of their mess. Many of the victims are kids under 18 who were sexually abused as children in their own homes. Girls are the victims of incest or intra-family sexual abuse much more frequently than boys. Between 33 to 50% of sexually abused girls are family members. The abusers are family members. 20% by fathers and 16% by relatives. To dovetail the above statistic, the number of intra-family trafficking is also on the rise. Parents traffic their children or use their own kids to traffic other kids. Many times it is to support the parents' alcohol and drug addiction. I just heard a story I talked to the woman who grew up in Onaway, and she said that she was sold by her parents. Her and her brother were sold when she was 5 years old. He was three. Sold to a guy for, I think it was $500, because they needed to repair their car. They couldn't get to work, and so they sold to him. Well, he immediately trafficked them, and he did get caught. This is one that got caught, and the state police arrested him and prosecuted him, and he's in prison. He's still in prison. It's been many years. But they were put into the state system, and they were adopted by a family in Mackinac City. She says, surprisingly, and she's a social worker now, she says, surprisingly, she says, nobody would think of the Mackinac City as being a hotbed for sex trafficking, but it's a hotbed. And it's a lot of it has to do. The whole I-75 corridor is a hotbed for sex trafficking, children and older. And a pastor friend of mine from Lansing says, I was in Mackinac Island. My wife and I went up for a vacation, and he says, I just saw something that just wasn't right. He said, there's something going on here, and he said the age of the child, how she interacted with the man, you could just tell it wasn't natural. So she went to the police office on the island. He says, what do you want me to do with it? He says, I'm one of one. He says, I am the only police officer, law enforcement, on this island. And he says, I'm taking care of lots of other things. So it's out there. It's real, it's out there. And when I spoke in St. Ignace last spring, they all got the same shaking of the head. Yes, it is. It is a problem up here, and we know it's a problem up here. And everybody puts their resources towards the bigger cities, but it's happening right under their nose in small towns. Domestic self-trafficking is the second highest crime in America. It has infiltrated every neighborhood, every zip code, and every state in America. Countless trafficked victims are homeless youth, kids in the foster care system, throwaway children, the neglected, and others that live with the previous sexual abuse. It is evil, and these kids are vulnerable. And I might back up here and just say, it's not the foster parents that are abusing the kids. It's the vulnerability of our kids that are in the foster care system that the traffickers groom and target. The majority of sex trafficking is accomplished through the internet, social media, and the entertainment industry. Pornography is a major component. Most trafficking begins online and was prefaced by romancing the kids, primarily girls, and meeting them in some predetermined place. There are hundreds of thousands of porn sites that are directed solely at children 12 to 17 years old, and much of it is pay-per-view. Parents, we can't be naive about this. Amen? Our kids are being specifically and intentionally targeted for sex trafficking. While our schools have been shut down and online learning has been happening, guess how thousands of our kids have been spending their idle computer time? Our kids don't need TVs in their bedrooms. They shouldn't have computers in their bedrooms. But if they are, they should have some sort of protection. That would be like a Covenantizer. There's many software packages out there to protect your kids so that any time that they're accessing something they shouldn't be, you know about it. Listen, our children are being desensitized and groomed by perpetrators. Pornography is the fuel that drives sexual abuse at every level. The average age boys are exposed to porn is what? Any idea? Statistics say 8, but you're all in the ballpark. Young. And I'll mention this again. 20% or 1/5 of our children are solicited sexually online before they reach the age of 18. It's dangerous. Grooming behaviors of traffickers often include: traffickers pay special attention to certain children by taking them out on outings and giving them gifts. Parents, adults, be aware of what's going on and who their kids' friends are, including adults and family members. Be aware. I can remember someone telling me, well, you can't pick your kids' friends. Really? I disagree. Traffickers isolate certain children from others. Traffickers fill the children's unmet needs, that need that we all need to feel special. Traffickers fill needs and roles within the family, dads. Traffickers treat the child as if they are older. What kid do you know that doesn't want to be treated older? Traffickers gradually cross physical boundaries. Traffickers become increasingly intimate and sexual. And sadly, United States is the number one country in the world for commercialization with children. I would have thought maybe in China, where we witnessed it, Thailand, where we witnessed it, India, where we witnessed it, but no, it's here in America. And that's sad. That's very sad. It makes, almost brings me to tears every time I mention that. And Michigan is what in the top 5? 3. I've heard 2, 3, and 5, and it depends who you listen to, because they're so hard to even know who is truly being trafficked. The numbers can be all over the place because nobody's talking. And statistics reveal that those who do survive, only 2% receive the counseling or healing they need to truly function in society again, ever. And out of those 2%, very few marry or are able to have children due to the physical damage and emotional trauma. But by God, healing is possible, and that's what we're striving for. The most effective way to fight this evil is through awareness and education. Expose, educate, equip, and empower the community with information, awareness, and the tools to identify, protect, and act upon to keep our vulnerable children safe from being trafficked. So what do vulnerable children look like? We have a brochure on the table out there. If you would just grab that on your way out. It says spot the signs. And there's lists there, and then there's some 800 numbers of like hotlines that that those that are either runaways or being trafficked can call. And we just recently formed a working relationship with an organization called Free International that encompasses not only education and awareness, but also coordinates volunteer groups and organizations in search events for missing children. Direct outreach to the street on the streets, help with immediate needs, transportation needs, vouchers for emergency hotel, food, clothing, personal items, maybe legal help if they need it, and they work. They are right now working with the hospitality industry, of which you have a lot of that around here. That's also part of the reason they're working with the hospitality industry is a place like Mackinac City, Mackinac Island. They work with the staffs of these hotels looking for the signs that they are being trafficked. And there's just some real ways. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, and he's an ER doctor in Holland. And I asked him, how many kids come in to the emergency room that are that it's obvious that they have been sexually abused? And he said, we catch a lot of heat for doctors not recognizing that, or the medical community. He says, number one, we got to be careful. He says, but it's not that easy to spot. There are spots like, and then he went into other medical terms like long bone fractures, which means they were twisted, versus that kind of thing. All over my head. But the point is that they're very difficult to see, but you can look for signs. You can look for signs of those that are being trafficked. Let's talk about the untrafficked sexually exploited children. Childhood sexual abuse has many components. Like I mentioned, sex trafficking is one of them. It's not either or, it's both. The numbers are beyond comprehension. America has 25 million children between the ages of 12 to 17 years old. Hundreds of thousands are being sexually abused every year. America, we need to be involved. We need to protect our children. According to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, or in short, AACAP, the almost 80,000 cases of child sexual abuse reported each year to them falls far short of the actual number, and they know it. People just aren't seeking help. We're not getting help for our kids. And why do you think that one of the main reason that kids don't speak up? Shame, fear. Yep, not being believed. We could go on and on. There's many reasons why they don't come clear with what's happening. But here's another reason I believe we have a problem. What is the church's impact in all of this? How are we impacting our communities? Are we impacting our communities? We believe, Sharon and I believe, that a main reason the church is not as free and whole as it needs to be is between the traumatized adult victims that have kept their abuse a secret as children, and or the church members themselves that are addicted to pornography. We are just a shell of what we should be as a church. I'm talking to the church as a whole, not this particular location. It's church as a whole. I have yet to speak to a group, regardless of size, whether it be 2 or whether it be 22. regardless of gender, regardless of spiritual background, or where at least that at least one person has not been exploited. In the least, that one was the least opportune times, like they have never told anybody in their church, but I get hit at the table. Can I talk to you a minute? Last week, it was five women that one said, I don't have money. I don't have money for a counselor. I know I need it. I'm a wreck. I'm anxiety ridden because I was abused as a child, and I'd never had the money to go to a counselor. So I was in another church, and I was talking to the pastor about it, and he says, what we do is that we have a counseling fund set up. It's part of our missions account. And he says, we put set money aside for our own people that are in trauma, and they need counseling. And he says, so we will pay, you know, not as long as necessary because the fund isn't that large. He's missed a couple thousand dollars that we can get somebody at least into counseling for help. Isn't that a good idea? I definitely don't want to get political, and I won't. Who says amen to that? Except the border crisis and the 22,500 plus. It's much more now. This was back in June. Unaccompanied minor migrant children being held in the United States. Many are being sexually assaulted in the camps. It is inexcusable, and America is appalled. Everybody's appalled about the migrant kids being abused, and they can't believe it. It has been going on right underneath our noses for years. We're shocked, and we can't believe it. But we join people in being shocked. We can't believe what's going down there either. But when 200,000 American children have been trafficked and millions more have been sexually exploited before they reach the age of 18, often in their homes, where is that outcry? Where is our outcry to those kids? Our kids in our own communities that are suffering the same way these kids are down on the border. Okay, that's the end of political announcement. Where was and where is the outcry? I'm not minimizing the migrant children, but I am wondering where our leaders have been for years and years protecting our children. Excuse me. Check this out. There are nearly 500,000 registered sex offenders in America. 500,000. 80 to 100 of these offenders are missing in action. Law enforcement has no idea where they are located. That's 20% of all these sexual offenders, registered sexual offenders, are in places unknown. The FBI estimates there is a sex offender living in every square mile of the United States. The typical pedophile will commit 117 sexual crimes against children in his lifetime, or hers, but it's 99.9% him. More than 90% of sexual abuse is committed by someone the victim knows, loves, and trusts. One out of eight girls were aged 10 or under at the time of their first rape. One out of eight of our girls. The percentage jumps to 30% for girls ages 11 to 17 when they were first raped. And more than 90% of people, male and female, with developmental disabilities will be sexually abused at some point in their life. More than 90%. And 49% of those 90% with special needs will experience 10 or more sexual abuse incidents in their lives. Often in the very under the very care of the people if they're in homes or some sort of nursing home, that's where they're being abused. We believe that God wants us, that's all of us, You know, we lived in Missouri 3 years. I grew up in Grand Rapids, but then I learned Chinese, and then I got sent down to Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. Now I forgot how to talk English, so I'm talking like all y'all and all that kind of stuff. So we believe God wants us all of us, to share our struggles in life for the benefit of others. Every one of us unknowingly comes into contact with people every day who have been sexually violated as children, and they have never told anybody. In fact, this past week, we were we wanted to take a vacation before the before our daughter went to school, and our other kids are in college before they take off for school. So we did we were going to go to Niagara Falls. But it was raining there, and we were going to spend some time along the Lake Erie. But it was raining, so where's the only blue spot? Upper Michigan, or northern Michigan, I should say. So then, we spent a couple days in Mackinac City and on the island. Then we went up to Tequamanon Falls. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful up there. And as we were walking, who's been up there? Everybody? Okay. I find that a lot of times the people in their own town don't go to their own attractions. So anyway, there's 94 steps at the fall level, right? And then there's 116 steps at the other to go down into the gorge, see a different view of the falls. Well, Sharon did the 94. But she came up and the kids wanted to do the 116, and she says, "Not me. We just did the 94. I'm just gonna sit on this bench and wait for you guys." So we took off and went down. Well, she's sitting there and she's got a little fan. It's a battery operated fan that you wet a sponge. So she put her drinking water in a sponge, and then that coolness, right, blows over the sponge and keeps her cool. Well, these five girls come up to where she was sitting, and they just got the biggest kick out of that fan. She goes, "Well, let me tell you, it saved my life in China, because we are in a real hot spot, and temperature-wise." And so they says, "Oh, you were in China. What did you do in China?" And she said, "Well, we were missionaries in China." And then one of the girls says, "What's a missionary?" So I found that interesting when Sharon was telling me about it. And she says, one of the other ladies says, we are from an organization in Pontiac. They run a home, like a rescue home. And these three girls were trafficked. We just rescued them. And they're living with us in our rescue home." And she was one of those girls, the one who said, "What's a missionary?" So this girl says, so she explained to her, missionary is someone who tells people about Jesus, goes overseas, is what she actually said, and tells people about Jesus. And so she looks at her and says, "Do you have a word for me?" to Sharon. And I thought that was strange. She didn't know what a missionary is, but she knows what a word for her means. I think that's rescue home influence. And she says, specific word. She goes, you have something for me? And she says, "Holy Spirit just showed me to tell her how much that he loves her." So she says, "Well, Jesus loves you, and he's got his great plans for you. And the past is the past, and you have a future, and you don't ever have to look back. And your relationship with Jesus will be the key to your victory." And all of a sudden, just the waterworks, you know. And she says, "What's wrong? What did I say?" She goes, "Well, we're up here on a retreat, and they brought three of the girls up, and they did some teaching and stuff like that." She goes, "The speaker that was at the retreat was talking about the keys to living the Christian life." And so she goes, and then the rest of that week, this was on Thursday, so they had started the previous weekend. So she goes, so all week, I've been finding these keys everywhere. And she didn't know what to make of that. And she says, but when you just said that Jesus is the key to my life, she goes, it all of a sudden, everything I've heard all week just clicked. And it just really affected her. So I tell that story for a couple of reasons. Is we can think that we can't influence people just in day-to-day living, daily life. We can influence people every day of our daily life. And we just have to, we don't have to look for it. God will put them in our place or put them in our path. And so anyway, that's isn't that a cool story? I thought that was awesome. So victims of childhood sexual abuse are among the largest unreached people groups in the country, along with other traumatized people. I'm probably going to go for about 5 more minutes. Just, that's for you clock watchers. Many survivors never fully recover from the trauma. They become angry with God and distance themselves from the gospel. In the church, many surviving church members never reach any level of wholeness in their lives that Jesus offers. They suffer silently and live in the torment of the physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational pain from those abuses. Frequently, for a myriad of reasons, sexual abuse is not spoken of in the church. But the traumatized need to be able to talk about their abuse to begin the healing process. Whether they know it or not, they need to talk about it. And if the church ignores the issue, they believe that they're the only ones that this has ever happened to, and they're not free to talk about it. So, you know, it's like, what is it? We're either going to help them or we're not. We have focused our ministry on bringing freedom, hope, and wholeness to people's lives, and we absolutely believe that Jesus is our only hope for healing from sexual abuse. And there is nothing that destroys the heart and soul more than sexual exploitation. Nothing. You think about all the examples and the stories in the Bible, and just over the down through the years, the thousands of years, how much sex and sexual abuse has affected society, whatever society it's been in. Do you know the story of Tamar? Anybody know the story of Tamar? Anybody else? Tamar is from 2 Samuel 13. Did you have that? Did you put a slide up there or not, Ben? Just so they get a okay. So this is at it's all at chapter 13, 1 through 39. We're not going to read through the all 39 verses, but that's where it's found. Her story. I'm going to summarize. Amnon, the son of King David, contrived to get his half-sister Tamar alone and have sex with her. His friend Jonadab, David's nephew, came up with a conniving plan to fulfill Amnon's wish. Amnon feigned illness, and he asked Tamar to serve him a meal in his bedroom where he raped her. Tamar was crushed. Her brother Absalom asked her if she had been with Amnon. She said, yes. His brotherly advice was, be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart. King David knew of this evil his son Amnon had done to Tamar, and he said nothing and did nothing. His own daughter and scriptures don't mention him doing anything about it. And even in ancient days, victims were told to keep the abuse a secret. Tamar remained desolate in her brother's house. What is desolate? What does it mean? It's a place deserted of people in a state of bleak or dismal existence, emptiness. A place that is depressingly empty or bare. Feeling of misery, unhappiness, or loneliness. You get the idea. Tamar was locked in the silence, shame, and abuse she suffered at the hands of her half-brother. Now, thousands of years later, Untold millions of children are victims of sexual abuse, and they carry the wounds of that abuse into their adulthood, living the same desolate condition as Tamar. What are some of the reasons? We already talked about what are some of the reasons. The fear, the threats of shame, the reaction of parents, etc. Like Tamar, when we keep our abuse a secret, the enemy gains a foothold, and Satan destroys our heart and heaps trauma on our souls. Silence is not the golden, is not golden for the sexually traumatized. America, how did we get here? That's not a rhetorical question either. How did we get here? Church, how did we get here? Not just America, but church. How has this perversion and evil committed against our children been allowed to happen? Maybe it started with the church's tolerance of abortion when life was not cherished, and our children aren't treated as the gift and blessing that they are. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Unfortunately, many of our children have been and are being neglected in this country. We have become a fatherless nation. I am not just talking about physically absent fathers, but also emotionally absent fathers. What do you think, guys? Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, ask the moms in here. Our children have heart wounds and predators, and they recognize and predators recognize their vulnerabilities. It is very easy to romance a vulnerable girl. Boys often become violent and mean without a father's influence and become abusers themselves. Fathers, we need to step up and recognize our responsibility. We should be our children's greatest fans. Let our sons know how incredibly proud we are of them. Let our daughters know how valuable and precious and special they are to us. So you don't have some pervert having to tell them that. Childhood sexual abuse is a horrific problem in the United States. Our wholehearted desire is to help the children who have been sexually traumatized to find their way to freedom, wholeness, and forgiveness by bringing the hope of Jesus into their broken lives. We believe wholeheartedly in Christian counseling. All that to say this, counseling, I don't know of a case that someone who has been traumatized, sexually traumatized, that doesn't need some sort of therapy or counseling, just to talk about it, nothing else. Okay, it might be 3 more minutes. When I'm done, I'm done. Okay. Okay, 3 ways to wholeness. Church, this is where I want to spend the rest of my time. Some may be post-trauma survivors or of childhood sexual abuse. God's desire is to fully heal us and to make us wholly whole. W-H-O-L-L-Y, whole. Number one, refuse to keep secrets. I've got 3 of these. Refuse to keep secrets. Keeping secrets secret may not kill us physically, but it may again. Suicide has never been higher, among our young people especially. But it certainly has affected us emotionally and spiritually. We may feel dead inside, but talking about the trauma with someone can set us free. The secret only holds power over us until we share it with someone trustworthy. Afterwards, it is no longer a secret. Even among my friends, I know who I can trust and who I can't trust. So be careful, be discerning, but if you have a good friend, or be that good friend. Be that person in the church that people feel comfortable going to, and they know that every other person in the church isn't going to hear about it. Let me encourage each of us to be a tool in God's hands to help people heal. How about volunteering in the children's church or the youth group if you're older? Well, they don't want to hear from some old guy. I used to think that too, and then I got kids that age. Secondly, refuse to be silent. What we can't or won't talk about owns us or controls us. If we can't talk about it, we're being controlled by it. God loves you. He wants you whole in every way. The abuser needs to admit their part of the abuse by releasing their secret as well. A small minority of sexual abuse victims, trafficked, untrafficked, report or talk about their trauma. The rest remains silent. Here's a story of a 16-year-old girl that was raped. So after the rape, Susie retreated into her own shell. She professed self-hatred, and it wasn't long before she started cutting and self-mutilating herself for comfort. Anybody know anybody that has cut themselves, that are cutters? It's more common than you would think. And I don't know how that works. I don't know how that can be a comfort when you're hurting yourself, but I just don't know. I don't understand it, but it's not uncommon. Finally, after a suicide attempt, she told the hospital therapist about the rape. The enemy wanted to keep that secret a secret. When a secret is kept silent, we are isolated, right? We are never meant to live in isolation. Satan has us right where he wants us, suffering alone. Refusing to keep a secret quiet is a powerful step in the healing process. And lastly, number three, refusing to live as a victim. The enemy puts us into a role of a victim. We get to choose. Don't have our choice taken away. As unkind or as uncompassionate as this may sound, accepting our past is vital to becoming whole. Forgiveness plays a huge role in the healing process. It's non-negotiable. If we don't forgive, we will live in the torment, and the abuser is, in reality, still tormenting us. We need to accept the chapters in our story that we can't change. We didn't want these chapters, but there they are. And what are we going to do about it? How are we going to handle that? We can't change them, so to accept them is really the key to moving forward in our path of healing. And again, I did not mean for that to be incompassionate. It's probably the most compassionate thing I could say to you is get the help and don't remain the victim. Lastly, our goal with Unbound is not for survivors to simply survive, but it's to fully heal and thrive. Our goal is to bring hope and healing and wholeness. There is a way to freedom and wholeness for the sexually traumatized, bringing the hope of Jesus into broken, shattered lives. Amen? Can we close our eyes a second? I'll let you close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this church family. Lord, I pray that nobody has had to endure the exploitation, the sexual exploitation of anybody here, whether as a child or even as an adult, as a wife. We focus, our ministry focuses on children, but it doesn't mean that adults are also not affected by this. Lord, I just pray that this be the day that you set them free, give them the freedom to talk to others, give them the ability to either talk to a counselor, whatever is holding them back. If they have reconciled with you and they are doing great, that's great, but statistics show that that's not the case. So right now, with our eyes closed, no looking around, and I'm not going to ask for any hands raised or coming forward or anything of the sort. Lord, I just pray right now that you touch those that need to touch this morning in this area. Holy Spirit, give leadership wisdom on how to handle this if someone does come to them, whether that be the pastor or the elders. But we need to be set free. We need to be all we can be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.